T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
On the phone with me for this segment, I have Jim Leach from the Fenner Valley Water Authority and Courtney Degner from Cadiz Incorporated, and we're going to be talking about the creation of the Southern California Clean Water Fund. Thank you both for joining me today. I appreciate it.
Thank you, Stephen. Glad to be here.
Thank you, Stephen.
Okay, first up, Jim, tell us a little bit about the Fenner Valley Water Authority. What area do you serve?
The Fenner Valley Water Authority serves essentially an area that encompasses South Orange County and Riverside and San Bernardino counties. We put it together back in November of 2014. It includes a mutual water company, which is a nonprofit consisting of water providers that are involved in the project, including the Santa Margarita Water District in Orange County, and a number of other agencies that are out in the Inland Empire and in the San Bernardino County area. We're a regular public board. We got a three-person board that are appointed by the various agencies, a couple of administrators. The point of the Fenner Valley Authority is to oversee the Cadiz project. We work directly with San Bernardino County, and they've got specific responsibilities around monitoring, mitigation, and management of the groundwater basin out there. And once the project is built, the Fenner Valley Authority will lease the facilities from Cadiz. Santa Margarita and Orange County is the managing member and the lead agency in the project overall, and will be responsible for the day-to-day operations along with the other participants.
Okay, Courtney, now tell us about Cadiz Incorporated.
Sure. So Cadiz is the largest private landowner in San Bernardino County. We have over 45,000 acres of land, primarily in the eastern Mojave Desert. So our largest property is in the Cadiz Valley, which Jim referenced. It's off Route 66, about 80 miles east of Barstow, 90 miles from Joshua Tree National Park. And this Cadiz property, we've been farming it since the 1980s, relying on extensive groundwater resources that are there beneath the land. Cadiz is also known for managing conservation assets, including California's largest desert tortoise conservation bank and a small Head Start program with the San Diego Zoo that you and I talked about several months ago. We're also known for the Cadiz Water Project, and that will be sited on our private agricultural property in the Cadiz Valley.
Okay, yes, we'll get into the Cadiz Water Project a little bit later on. But first of all, the Fenner Valley Water Authority and Cadiz, you've both teamed up and established a $5 million fund for water quality investments in disadvantaged community. Now, why did you feel that this needed to be needed to come about, and how did it come about?
I can talk a little bit about the need, because we're seeing in the state of California, in the legislature, any number of initiatives and efforts to address disadvantaged communities and their access to clean water. And so there's about 300 systems, drinking water systems around the state that are categorized by the CPUC as disadvantaged. That's representing about, well, several hundred thousand people. And for any number of reasons, they're unable to provide safe drinking water to their communities. They don't have the rate base. They don't have the population, any a variety of things. So all of these Californians, they rely on drinking water from a system that in one way or another violates public health rules and laws. And the fact is that the state and federal government have stringent requirements around water quality, but these systems are simply unable to do that. And in some instances, the state and federal governments have made grants available, but they're limited, and they have a lot of requirements that are sometimes prohibited for disadvantaged communities, or the funding is simply not enough. So with that in mind, Cadiz has stepped up to the line on it. Courtney, you want to talk a little bit about that?
Sure. Yeah, I think, Cadiz is, we've long been dedicated to ensuring that our projects provide local benefits, and we saw a real need to provide capital, private capital investment, to help supplement state and federal dollars that are being dedicated to help solve this problem. There's a nexus between disadvantaged communities that are often in serve rural areas, and they generally have small water system operators. They rely on groundwater, and they can often lack water treatment options, or they have water quality issues in that groundwater. Cadiz has done its own research and development for a while into water quality treatment systems that can ensure that our water at Cadiz will provide, you know, the benefits required for Southern California when it's ultimately delivered as part of our water project. And as part of that, we were able to fund private investment because we had access to capital markets. But many small systems that serve disadvantaged communities simply don't have that option. So we, working with Fenner and a lot of our partners, decided that we wanted to make this $5 million available as a supplemental fund to help small water systems that are serving these communities. And it would finance water quality improvements, and it's really consistent with our with the company's commitment to providing safe, affordable drinking water in Southern California.
Okay, now this $5 million fund, how is the fund going to actually provide clean water to these communities?
So I would just say that the fund, it was just announced, and we really appreciate the opportunity to talk about it now. And we're just in the infancy stages of trying to work with water community stakeholders, entities that advocate for and service disadvantaged communities to help identify those small water systems that might have a need for funding. So our agreement with Center Valley Water Authority calls for our outreach plan to be completed within 90 days and then to begin contacting the entities that may qualify. So again, we're still in that early stages, but ultimately the hope is that the fund, the granting of these private dollars will help systems that have an identified water quality concern help finance a treatment proposal or maintain treatment operations.
I can add a little bit to that. The idea fundamentally is that the Fenner Valley Authority is going to administer the fund. And the way it's structured at the moment, about $3 million are reserved for these eligible small systems in the county of San Bernardino. The remaining $2 million is available to systems that are located in any county in Southern California, and including San Bernardino. So there'll be applications, we believe, from places outside of San Bernardino County. Nevertheless, any of those that receive water from the Cadiz project will have access to it. We're going to coordinate the efforts with the wholesale water agencies within San Bernardino County. That includes several Mojave Water, Inland Empire Utilities, 29 Palms. And they're going to help us look into the desert communities and small water systems and make sure they're aware of the Clean Water Fund and the opportunity for the assistance. We'll simply invite those systems identified to submit applications, and funds will be made available following the construction of the project.
Okay, now why is water quality such an important topic, and why should the general public be concerned about their water quality?
Well, we look at it as the Water Authority. We look at it in a couple of ways. There are two critical elements in water we look at. It's a lot more complicated than that, but this, for the purpose of this discussion, it's supply and quality. And making sure the role that water plays, and the states recognize this, the role that water plays in life itself requires that drinking water be clean. It sounds funny to say it out loud, but it's true. As I said earlier, the federal and state governments have really stringent quality standards that most water agencies comply with. But these disadvantaged communities and the agencies that serve them are the outliers. And so if providers are unable to meet the standards, regulatory agencies take steps to ensure that the water is available. As I say, most water systems across the state meet or exceed the cleanliness standards, both at the state and federal level. But it's important, we think, for customers to still educate themselves and be aware of the steps that their water provider takes to ensure the highest quality. We and all the agencies are required around the state to publish a brochure every year that talks about the steps we take to ensure that clean water. And again, the focus here is on those agencies that are simply not able to do that for a variety of reasons, and try to address at least the financial condition of some of these and help them out.
Courtney, tell us a little bit about the Cadiz Water Project. Go into a little bit more specifics about what the Cadiz Water Project actually is.
Okay, sure. The project, it's at our Cadiz Valley property, which is a private agricultural operation we have out in the eastern Mojave Desert. And the idea is the property is at the bottom of a significant watershed. It has 17 to 34 estimated million acre feet of groundwater in storage. It ultimately ends up at an area called the Dry Lakes, where water is, groundwater is licking up through the surface and evaporating. They're playas. They look like the surface of the moon. And the concept is to capture and conserve that water that's otherwise lost to evaporation and put it to beneficial use by making it available as a new supply for up to 400,000 people in Southern California. So ultimately, we'll be managing the groundwater basin at our property to help stop that loss to evaporation. And then as the groundwater basin is managed, in the future, we believe we'd be able to import and store water and operate the project as a groundwater banking operation, something that's been identified as, by the state as a real need in California to manage long-term water supplies. The project is a public-private partnership between Cadiz and public water agencies like the Santa Margarita Water District that Jim mentioned earlier. We do also have partnerships with agencies throughout all of Southern California, in Riverside and in Los Angeles and San Diego counties, among others. So, again, the hope is to be able to add a supplemental new water supply in Southern California to meet long-term demand.
And what stage is the project currently in?
The project has completed its environmental review and permitting process in accordance with California state laws, the California Environmental Quality Act. We went through a public review process over 18 months in 2011 to 2012, and then we went through a four-year litigation process on all those permits and approvals. And at the end, all of the project CEQA documents and approvals were upheld in accordance with the California laws by California's court. We're now at the stage where we are trying to finalize contracts with all the different project participants and make arrangements to move water in Southern California's existing water transportation system. The project is in the Cadiz Valley, as I mentioned. There'll be a pipeline constructed within an existing active railroad right-of-way to the Colorado River Aqueduct and then conveyed via that aqueduct into all the different service areas across Southern California.
We've talked about how the fund will be administered and what a disadvantaged community really is, but do the water providers need to apply for help from this fund in the future? And if they do, how do they do so?
Yeah, that's part of the plan. The eligible systems that are identified by the various partners and the water authority, they'll be invited to submit applications for improvements sometime next year, beginning next year, and so they'll be all set when the project is when the construction of the project is ultimately completed. And there's a website, SoCalCleanWaterFund.com. For anybody who's interested in looking into what's going on with this, and certainly for those that wish to apply and maybe even get updates from that website. So it's a routine process. There'll be those that are invited. There'll be those that will apply on their own for their own account, and we look forward to making this available.
Okay, give us that website again.
Sure, it is www.socalcleanwaterfund.com.
As we wrap things up, is there one important point that you think the general public should know about this water fund?
Well, from my perspective, the state has determined, and I think water providers all over the state are in agreement with the importance of clean water to all communities. And this is just a really good step where we want to make sure that regulators and others are aware that steps are being taken outside of the legislative framework to make sure that many of these communities are able to be served and that their residents have access to clean water and that they can take steps to improve their systems.
Yeah, I agree with Jim. And I think, you know, the state has really been a leader in establishing a human right to water, and that really involves establishing a human right to clean water. And we've done a lot of research. We've seen that there's over a million Californians that rely on drinking water from a community system that has a water quality violation. And, you know, 200,000 people have water that's chronically contaminated. And in California, I think we'd all agree that should not be happening. And again, Cadiz really feels like we can provide a private investment opportunity to help supplement state and federal funds. There just simply is not enough state and federal grant programs that can help this. And a lot of these communities, again, they don't have the rate base to support investments in quality improvements. So we believe there's a need, and we can help, and we're really excited and so grateful for the public water agencies that are working with us on this project.
Courtney Degner from Cadiz Incorporated and Jim Leach from Fenner Valley Water Authority. We've been talking about the creation of the Southern California Clean Water Fund. Thank you both once again for joining me today. I appreciate it.
Thanks very much.
Thank you so much.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.